weaving with us that she started weaving school.
Oh, yeah, right.
Okay. Well, anyhow, to continue on, I'm not quite sure. Can you run that back a little bit? Maybe I
can't.
No.
I can't play it, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, anyhow, I know where I retired and moved in with her when I started managing the business. And then we decided to expand. And again, I said, got the architect and I wanted a porch and everything. And in the meantime, my mother got very sick. And she actually outlived all her siblings, except for one who was actually only 7 years older than me, her youngest sister, who is still living in Florida. But anyhow, she passed away at the age of 88. And she leaves a legacy, I think. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the people, I have three people in my shop besides myself who took lessons from her at one time when she was in her weaving school. And so what I've tried to do is expand a lot of that. I have a lot of her stuff, and every now and then I take something out and sell it.
Yeah.
And as I said, she and my father were both very community oriented. They helped a lot with the community. We had a farm, and actually, my dad said nobody ever made any money farming up here until they started selling their land when we were discovered. And when I left in 1961 to go to school in D.C., it was farms. And when I came back to live with my mother in 99, it was a destination resort.
Yeah.
But we have, it was in good spots. Canaan Valley is very unique. I actually appreciate it more as I got older. When we were 18, we couldn't get out of here fast enough. But then a lot of us retired and moved back and are still living here. Actually, out of all the farm families, there's only about four families left, and we're second and third generation.
Wow.
But only one or two of us have anything to do with farming anymore. I kind of manage hay fields on some trust property that allows me still to use it as a farm, to qualify as a farm and sell the hay. And my niece has part of the farm, and she sells her hay, and that's all we do. We don't do anything else. But in the meantime, with the expansion of the loom barn, and then I changed the signs to a much better sign for the roads, and so people found a way. I have done some of the modern social media things to try to get our name out. We're very knowing now, and people do find us, by different ways. Word of mouth is probably, I find, my best advertisement.
Yeah. So you had two women weaving here today. Are there regular weavers who come in here all the time?
Yes. Patty is a summer weaver. She comes from Alabama, but she has looms in her house down in Alabama, so she weaves in Alabama. But she is considered a summer person, and she comes, and she's always got a project or two that she weaves. Joni Newport is my production weaver, I call her. She's got four looms that she works on here, plus I think she has four looms in her house that she also works. She started out as a basket maker and took up weaving. And my mother would always say, because my mother would do baskets and taught basketry in the early years at Augusta Heritage days in Elkins, at Davis and Elkins College. But Mom said, if you can weave, you can make baskets. If you can make baskets, you can weave. And she, as I said, in the early years, she taught weaving there. And then she and I went back in the 80s and taught a class together for Augusta. I think it was their 25th anniversary year. So we did a class together for weaving. And then I did one subsequently for the people on beginning weaving, but I decided that was not my forte. I preferred being up here and retailing and having, the shop open for people. I found that was just a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Are there other people who come and weave here?
Well, I have Patty, and then I have Joni, And then I have Val. And then we do individual lessons. I do individuals. I've had several students through. I usually find that they need a chunk of commitment of time. I say, okay, what do you want to do? This is what we can offer, but you got to stick to it. Mm-hmm. You got to finish your project, especially on the loom. Mm-hmm. If you're going to wind a warp and put it on there and you're going to finish, you need to finish it. And most people do, and some people go away and they really decide that that's what they want to get into, and other people say, I didn't realize there was so much work to it. It looks so easy. Well, I said, yes, it is easy. Of course, we're more traditional, and they have a very excellent teaching program at what they call Redstone Glen up in Pennsylvania with Tom Nisley. So I recommend sometimes people, if they really want to expand, to go and take lessons with Mr. Nisley. He used to be at the Mannings, which was a very well-known weaving center there right outside of Gettysburg, and they closed up because the owners wanted to retire, and they closed their business. But Tom and his daughter bought this old mill in a place, and then they have a retreat and a weaving center. And he is one of the nicest people you ever met, and well knowledgeable, and very good. He's been recognized nationally as a teacher.
You were starting someone out as a beginner, what loom would you start them on and what project?
Well, I usually ask them, I have a loom with has a warp on it, and we make mug rugs, small pieces, and let them try that first to see if this is really what they want to get into. And then we start, well, usually they like to make a towel. Mm-hmm. Towels are very popular. We have the warp supplies and everything here, and then they usually plan a project. We have a Davison's Book of Weaving Patterns. It's probably the Bible of weaving patterns. And they can pick something in there if they want to study a technique and everything. And I've had several people do that and complete a project. Or one girl I know, she made family tartans, scarves. She made tartan scarves for everybody. Took her 2 years. It literally took her 2 years, but she did finally get her warp woven off. She says, I just don't think I'll be doing that again.
Was there a community that came out of Arthurdale of weavers?
Well, some of the people, I guess, they do have weaving now back in Arthurdale. They have a heritage center, and then through the heritage center, they were offering weaving. They have looms and things like that, I understand, in one of the buildings. And they had hired a AmeriCorps person who was teaching weaving. We have a weaver's guild. We have a small group of weavers here. There is in Elkins, there is a Mountain Weavers Guild, which has been there for many years. And I used to be with them, work with them and everything when I lived in Elkins. And they have a weaving center in one of the local churches, and they have their looms there and everything, and they do a lot of weaving, too. So there are spots of weaving in different places. We get a magazine called Hand Woven, and it always has a lot of projects in it, which is another inspiration. You can go through that and think, oh, I think I can make that, or yeah, I'm going to try that, something like that. There is a couple meetings that we go to. We go to the Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival, and there you meet weavers, and you also get access to a lot of beautiful threads, especially in the yarns and the fiber yarns and everything. And then there's also a Convergence, which is a Hand Weavers Guild of America. Every other year, it's always on the even years, and they meet in one of the cities. They alternate between coasts, and I attended one Convergence in D.C. for a day and a half and said, I'm going back, and then another girl and I went all the way to Atlanta, Georgia, and attended Convergence there, and I took some classes there. It was real interesting. I learned something. It's, but you really almost get sensory overload with all the stuff that they have. But, you know, they have looms, they have thread, they have everything there.
Oh, say there's a particular style, West Virginia style or local style?
I would say probably they're traditional. As I said, our girls make a lot of rag rugs, rag mats, which are placemats with rag and thread, both. Thread rugs, we can use a variety of things with that. We recycle things. I have a lot of stuff that's left over when my mother had her weaving school that we're still dipping into. And so, you know, it's a particular style. We don't really go I would call designer pieces, because we have a shop and we do sell. As I said, things for the home, gifts, and some souvenirs, mm-hmm. some stuff that could be considered souvenirs. But I find that most of the time people's looking for maybe a special gift. It seems the last couple years the girls have seemed to be concentrating more on scarves and then placemats and rugs. But towels, I call them towels of all different kinds, are very, very popular. You don't just have a plain hand towel. You have a hand towel that's in color, or you have a hand towel that's got a real fancy design on the borders or things like that. But at the same time, I tell them a lot of them are very practical. You can use them every day if you want to.
Right. And you said you have 20 people who sell here?
22.
Oh, wow. So some of them don't work here, but they bring
their... Yeah, they bring their stuff in. Some of the girls are knitters and crocheters, and that's what they do. And I take it on consignment. And I also try to sell sometimes some local products. And we have maple syrup this year that was very popular, because the man who made it lives over on the one of the pieces of property used to be part of our farm. And he's a young man, and he said he wanted to tap my sugar maple trees. I said, sure. And he made very good maple syrup. So I sold some through the shop, because it was kind of cool that people said, oh, yeah, so it was just made in those trees right down the road there, if you go down there and look. I've taken stuff, and I'll be very honest, it just doesn't sell.
Yeah.
But, you know, we try. Ironically, sometimes people will come in and buy things that have been in the shop, I know, since 2000, mm-hmm. when I first started big into merchandising everything. And all of a sudden, somebody walks in and says, that's exactly what I'm looking for. Wow. So you just never know. And plus the latest, which is basically towels. Right now, one of the girls has done scarves and stoles. She seems to be concentrating on that. But she makes excellent rugs. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes she does rugs and things. And then another girl, she does placemats. She does afghans or throws. She makes rugs. And she makes scarves. And she makes towels. And all the stuff sells.
Did your mother have a particular style or something she was known for?
Well, I was saying, like the bedspreads, she would weave a lot of the bedspreads in what they call the wig rose pattern. And the way she developed a pattern, a bedspread is in three pieces. A coverlet, if you think of a coverlet, it's two pieces with a seam down the middle. It's very characteristic of that. And if depending on the weaver, whether you can detect the seam or not, because sometimes they make the pattern so it stretches across that separation. She with the wig rose, it was very hard to find the joins, where the joins are, though. Wow. She made, I don't know, I have four wig rose coverlets in different colors that she made, and I have a couple in another pattern. I think it's called Star of Bethlehem that she made. And see, people said, well, did she quilt? I said, yes, she did quilt. She did a Tree of Life applique. It took her about 5 years, I think. And she pieced one other piece. But, you know, and she also made baskets at one time. She did a lot of baskets. She also was great about recycling scraps. She made ways to use up waste and scraps and things like that. She took, my father got into making tops, the spinning wooden tops. Mm-hmm. So she took the tops and got doll faces and heads and things and made yeah. little things with the tops. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and I have a lot of that stuff that she used, notions and things. Mm-hmm. I still have it.
Are most of the women older? Do you see young people getting into it?
Well, yes and yes. My average age of my weavers right now is probably in the 50s. But there have been a couple younger ones. And one of our weavers said that she's got her granddaughter and a niece who just took up weaving. So it is younger generation. It seems like some people come here and they're very interested in it, but they don't realize they have to invest a lot of time and effort into it.
And is, I don't know the right word, but setting up your warp, is that the most time-consuming part?
The prep work probably is. When you're planning a project, like a weaving, like say you want to make my biggest project right now are making tartans. And tartans off, we have an official tartan map, huge thing that I have up on the wall in the shop. And people come in there and look at their tartan and say, can you make this? And what I offer them is, for a price, either scarves or throws. And I've made as many as 5 throws of one tartan. Wow. And it's basically putting it together, figuring it out. We're very fortunate on this map that they have the set of the colors and then adapting it to the space and the size of the material that you want to make is probably the biggest thing, is figuring it out. Okay. But we also use acrylic thread. Now, some people would say, oh, why don't you make them out of wool? I said, well, yeah, but you couldn't afford it. Because wool is very expensive, especially dyed wool, to be spun in the colors, which are basically green, black, red, and blue, and white, are the basic. Most of the tartans are made of those basic colors, and that would be very expensive. Whereas we use a quality acrylic thread, and you can wash them,
right,
which is kind of easier.
Yeah. What do you like to weave the most?
Mug rugs. To be creative with my mug rugs. The small pieces like now I got right now, I'm using thrums. Thrums are the ends of a warp that people couldn't use, and they're usually anywhere from 12 to 24 to inches long. There's a lot of times when you end the warp on the loom, you have a waste space. And so what do you do with all that? Well, my mother was very thrifty. You never threw anything around. She used to use thrums to stuff stuff. She would make pillows and then stuff them full of thrums and things like that. So I like to be creative with the mug rugs.
Okay, and that's like a coaster.
Or coasters, or people call them coasters. And towels. Towels are fun to make, too. Or afghans. I'm fine with, and I like the weaving the tartans. It is a challenge. It is a challenge, but I enjoy it. I'm known as the orders lady. Okay. I will take on an order, and sometimes that order is a challenge.
Yeah.
A couple times I've had to finally throw in the, say, I can do this, but it'll cost you $1,000. And they kind of think about that. I said, it will, by the time all the work I have to do to put into this project will cost you $1,000. I'm not afraid to ask for money now. I have learned to ask. And that was something, because my mom, she didn't want to raise her prices because she felt that, you know, things would sell. And I'll be very honest, when I go other places and see the same kind of work for $100 to $200 and we're selling it for $79 or $75, I kind of say, we're not degrading it by sewing. It's just that we know our market here, and we find that things will sell much more easier at a lesser price.
What do you think about the continuation of the weaving community in West Virginia or in this area?
Well, I have some contact with some of the people, and there's always somebody, somehow. The Weavers Guild has always managed to have people weave. Here, I have some weavers here. Now, I don't have any grandchildren or relatives who are interested in weaving, but I feel that maybe someday somebody interested. I'm looking at some way right now is to maybe find a way to preserve my museum that I live in and to also offer some kind of creative arts center. I have a house. Well, I'll leave that out. But because that's what we're thinking. We're thinking about, This is off the record.
Yeah.
We're thinking about trying to look at a 501c3 or something through the Tucker Community Foundation. Because I don't want to be here 10 years from now being responsible.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. And I feel that, you know, there might be other people who would like to do it. Mm-hmm. There's possibility, you know, as I said, we have all these looms, but our looms are old.
Yeah, right.
Well, the one is 150 years old, and it still works. But I am fussing at my cousin right now. I told him, I said, if we don't get that thing done this year, I'm going to go find somebody else to make that mechanism. It's the roller mechanism he has to make.
Right.
He promised me he would do it this year.
There's anything else? Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I think we have just here in Canaan, my mother had created a unique program. Mm-hmm. And there are weaving spots. I am encouraged. I just had a call today from a man from California over in the Eastern Panhandle that would like us to come and do an exhibit of our weaving and everything. And so I thought, well, that's encouraging. And it'll be up to the weavers if they want it. They can do it. We can do it. We worked very closely with the people from the Mountains Art District to have our stuff, you know, available out there. Especially, I'm not very, social media savvy.
Yeah.
I can do a little bit, mm-hmm. but, you know, I just don't feel I want to depend on that. And so we find that right now, word of mouth is our best market.
Yeah, that makes sense. Let's see.
And plus, I have all this stuff. When I go upstairs, I say, what am I going to do with this?
Right.
We'll never weave it up. My one of my ideas was to offer it to a mission group.
What sort of things do you display? Do you make special pieces?
I try to include each of the persons, whatever they specialize in, like towels and throws, and then mug rugs. That's my thing. The towels, especially different kinds of towels. Some of the girls, the placemats, mm-hmm. especially rag versus thread mats. And different designs with that. I right now am fighting a fight with linen, and I don't know who's winning, me or the linen. this thing.
Oh, that's what you're working on right now.
Yeah, it's linen, and it's very grumpy, and it breaks, and I have 16 yards on there to weave off. That's what I have left out of a warp of 20 yards.
Wow. And what's that for?
I make towels. Mm-hmm. the proof. In fact, I saw one today, a proofing towel. Oh, nice. They're linen tea towels.
Yeah, for making bread.
Huh?
For proofing bread dough?
For proofing bread dough. Because supposedly bread dough will not stick to linen as it does to cotton. Mm. Supposedly. Well, I still tell them you have to dust it with flour.
Oh, yeah.
You should not just plop it on there. But yeah. But I understand that linen doesn't stick. Cotton, if you look at cotton under the microscope, mm-hmm. it has tiny little barbs, yeah. Just like wool does.
Right.
And whereas in the short fibers, whereas cotton has those, the linen has those long fibers.
Yeah.
See, from the flax plant.
I see.
But the neat thing about it, if you look at some of the old antique linen tablecloths and stuff, if you look real close, you can see bits of chaff in there.
Yeah.
From where they, you know, where the linen was processed.
Right.
And you can still find little tiny bits of chaff, you know, like I call stock and things that, and seeds, things like that in them, if you know what you're looking for.
Yeah. Is there anything, what else are you?
Well, a tartan. I have a tartan warp on, and unfortunately I have a partially torn rotator cuff in my arm from a kind of bad accident I had about almost 2 years ago. But I'm working through a PT program right now, and he's given me hope that I can strengthen enough. And I work, it's my right arm. So I use it till I get tired, and then I go do something else for a while, and then I'll go back to it. Any repetitive thing is very hard on it. But yeah, I did it. I tripped on a cement and went down and landed on my elbow like this. And it was all black and blue. But I finally got an MRI done. And he said that my head of my humerus normally is like this. Well, mine's like this. And he said that. I said, yes, probably from where I fell.
Yeah.
And jammed it on the cement. I mean, I went down hard on my elbow. And it could have been worse.
That's true. Well, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Of course, I'll think of this later.
Right.
I want to give credit to my weavers, though. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that make the shop. I mean, I can weave, but I'm not a production weaver. So some of these girls are production weavers. And that's what my mother originally started the classes out for. The Board of Education was to give people a second income. And they did. As she said, they all came with these looms, and they'd only been taught one way, how to do something. And she was able to expand their abilities and take those old looms and show them what else they could weave with those old looms besides rugs.
Right.
The only dude knew how to do one thing, which was rugs, and that's what most people do. Mm-hmm. You know, people come in here and say, oh, my granny made rugs.
Yeah, yeah.
How many times did your grandmothers make rugs? Right. How many rugs have the grandmother make?
And do you think they were mostly rag rugs?
Mostly rag rugs. And recycle. My mom said, you know, they never threw away anything.
Yeah.
And now, I know my mom sometimes is cringing in her grave sometimes when the girls have these long pieces of thread and they throw them in the trash. Dorothy would not like that one bit.
Yeah.
Well, in her day, thread is expensive.
Right? Yeah.
And you know, this, like, I try to keep a supply of different threads. In fact, I have this warp thread. It's called A2 cotton. It's right up here, mm-hmm. and we use that for the towels and everything.
Yeah.
And like Patty has A2 cotton on that, she's making spa towels. That's where you make the thick chenille and you make spa towels.
Okay.
And so I found a source for that because the company that I always bought from, he retired. See, we have. Well, they're thread men, they're called. And what they do is they go around and buy up seconds and different things, you know, lots of stuff.
Yeah.
And he did it for years up in Massachusetts. His name, his Pasa, and I got to know him, and he had some, I got some really good bargains on thread, whereas you have companies like Great Northern and Yarn Barn, and there's one in Massachusetts, I can't think of, Webbs. They're in for profit, so their prices are much more. Now, the neat thing about Yarn Barn and things, they put out kits. Well, you can get a kit, and you can make a project, whereas you don't have to wind a warp. Or no, you do, or like knitting projects and things like that. But they also supply, you know, something, directions and things like that, where you buy the yarn and everything, and then they give you the directions how what to put on a warp and stuff like that. So it's kind of interesting. But see here, see these are napkins.
Yeah, right.
Look at the things. Yeah. I know I'm very, very familiar with Monk's Belt. Uh-huh. And see, there was their tea study on page 34. I think, you know, as I said, you really get to need things like that. And you go places and you come home and said, well, I could do that. Mm-hmm. But see the structure, a basket full of flowers, and their twill and half basket weave, HF loom, easy. The pearl cotton, I got loads of that stuff. I don't have to order their colors. I can use my own colors. Mm-hmm. And then just put it on and weave it up. Wow. See, here's suggestions on how to do the threading. This is on an 8 harness, mm-hmm. which I have 2 8 harness looms. And I also have a 6 harness, but you know, I can do that. And here's one for bands of color. Mm-hmm. And see, I laugh because what they say, warp length, 5.5 yards. Uh-huh. We would triple that. You're not going to make just one.
Right, right.
You're going to make several.
Yeah.
And you want to do that. See, and see, delightful dinner napkins. Which way? As I said, these are a lot of done by people who. That's what their job is, to mm-hmm. come up with designs
right.
and unique things. And see, this is kind of neat.
Yeah.
But I think the thing is, as I said, when I go places and you see the price tag on it,
yeah, right.
you think, are they really going to sell that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, now, with credit cards, I have found that does do a lot for the impulse buying.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You're more likely to buy impulsively when you have a credit card.
Right.
And I do it myself. I mean, I'm just not the other people, but I do it too sometimes.
Yeah.
But these things are so neat, but man, they're expensive. If you're really into making things.
Yeah.
And see, these are beautiful scarves. And you can just see, this is Iceland, and these are the designs
mm-hmm.
and things. But when you go there, I mean, that takes time.
Mm-hmm.
Mountains of ice. See, Margot makes the Icelandic knit sweaters.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
And all of the patterns are in her head.
Wow.
She's been a knitter for a long time. Wow. Her socks patterns are in her head. We got her to do a sock class one time. Mm-hmm. I did get the socks done. I got myself a pair mm-hmm. of socks out of that. I scribbled my notes, and I went back to look at them. Didn't make any sense. Nothing makes any sense. I don't think I could do it again.
Right.
But, you know, with her, I mean, she never wanted to write anything down. She would tell us what to write down,
yeah.
but she never wrote anything down. But see, this is... There's just all kinds of things. Are you familiar with weaving? Have you tried weaving?
No, I'm a knitter, but I haven't really tried weaving. But I would like to sometimes.
But see, you can do a lot of things in knitting, too.
Yeah, that's true. Yep.
I think I did sell a triangle stole I made, you know. I said, how'd you do it? I said, well, you just start three, you knit on three, and then it's knit one, yarn over, knit to the end, and the last two, you do yarn over, knit the other one together, and then you just each time you do a yarn over, and that increases it out this way until you get whatever you want to go. You can do that in the car.
Yeah, that's right.
I used to do that a lot. I've got a new thing now where I make these, I bought this, the gal that was on Vanna White. She had Vanna White thread. You got it at Michael's or A.C. Moore's.
Oh, wow.
And it was with bling. And I would make scarves, and they would be just one thing of scarf, and it would be a lace knit, which is knit one, yarn over, knit two together, all the way across, and you anything divisible by three.
Right.
You did 18 stitches, see, then you would have something about like this.
Yeah.
And you could almost do it in your, well, it's hard to watch TV and knit.
Yeah.
I know people that do that.
Yeah, I used to do that, but if it's easy, I can do it.
Well, the thing is, too, I prefer to listen to CDs and things like that. I do a lot of CD. When I was coming up and weaving with my mother back in the 90s, I used to bring, I had books on tape.
Oh, yeah.
And I put tape in and weave.
Yeah.
And people say, how can you do that? Mm-hmm. I said, I have learned to compartmentalize the things.
Mm-hmm.
And you do it. Now, this is interesting.
I read that, actually.
I do have a contact person for that. I have it on my iPhone.
Uh-huh.
And a contact person for that group, they would be really neat to,
I would love to
see. Because Lucy Quarrier was the weaver.
Yeah.
I think my mother was acquainted with her pretty well. And see, my mother also went to Ripley, I know, one time. And then Beatrice Bannerman used to come to Augusta.
Okay.
And she taught, her expertise was dyeing, vegetable dyeing, different dyeing with different things.
Yeah. Cool.
And she was pretty, she was interesting. She smoked.
Uh-huh.
She'd sit there with a cigarette hanging off her lip. And talking. Well, be out in the open, thank goodness. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, well, I should probably get going, but could I take your picture?
Sure.
Sure. Thanks so much for your time.
Maybe sitting at a loo?
Yeah, that would be great.
As I said,